The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. It's day 10 of the Karen Reed trial, and today the jury, yet again, got a blizzard of evidence, but this time, literally. This was the day they heard about blood in Solo cups, broken shards of taillight buried in the snow, and a voicemail from the defendant that began with, "John, I fucking hate you." How's that for getting the jury's attention right off the bat? The testimony was fast, it was emotional, and sometimes even a little chaotic, just like the crime scene itself. Just like the search, the storm, the science, and the shouting. Not in the courtroom, but in the messages that Karen Reed left behind for the boyfriend she's accused of killing. Judge Cannone let everybody out early, but we are not wasting a second, so let's get right to the good stuff. The morning started with retired Canton Police Lieutenant Paul Gallagher back on the stand and back under fire from the defense. Gallagher was one of the first officers on the scene at 34 Fairview Road, where John O'Keefe's body was found lifeless in the snow. And right off the top, defense attorney Alan Jackson zeroed in on what Lieutenant Gallagher did when he got there. He grabbed a leaf blower. Yes, a leaf blower. To clear snow from around a body, a leaf blower to blow the bits out of a crime scene. Gallagher testified that he didn't find a hat, didn't find a shoe, didn't find any pieces of broken red taillight in the white snow, but that he did find blood and a few shards of a clear cocktail glass. And then came the big question. Why didn't anyone think to search the house? You know, the house that's attached to the front yard? Where John was found in the snow? It is the same house, Brian Albert's house, where a raging party had taken place the night before, where Karen Reed says she dropped John O'Keefe off. The same house that was owned by and was filled with police officers who were drinking the night before. So why didn't the police even try to get a warrant? Alan Jackson reminded the jury that you don't even need to prove something to get a search warrant. You just need probable cause. And in his words, you don't get into trouble for asking. But Lieutenant Gallagher didn't budge. He told the jury that he couldn't ask a judge for a warrant in good conscience.
I would have to twist circumstances to have the right to search Brian Albert's house. We had no reason, and there's been no reason since.
And then came something that may have hit home for the jury. Gallagher told them that if he lied to a judge to get a warrant, his career would be over.
My right to my credibility to testify in my career is basically over.
That's what happens when your name ends up on what's called a Brady or Giglio list. Law enforcement officers with a documented credibility problem. It's a death sentence for a police officer's career. But the defense wasn't finished. Alan Jackson pivoted, and this time he wanted to ask about Gallagher's relationship with another man at the party that night, another law enforcement officer, Agent Brian Higgins with the ATF. Turns out they're not just acquaintances. Lieutenant Gallagher admitted they were friends, the kind of friends who have shared meals, shared drinks, and stayed in touch. And yet, Gallagher never interviewed Higgins, even though Higgins was at the party the night that John O'Keefe died. But Lieutenant Gallagher said that by the time Brian Higgins came up, Agent Brian Higgins of the ATF, the Canton Police Department had already recused itself. Then a detail that seemed small, but may not be so small. Alan Jackson asked Lieutenant Gallagher if he remembered seeing the Alberts family dog when he walked in through the side door of the house. A German shepherd named Chloe. No, I did not, Gallagher said. And that was it. Jackson didn't linger, he just moved on. And remember, the defense contends that the bizarre scratches all over the victim's arm didn't come from an SUV hitting him, but instead came from a dog attacking him inside that house party. Next, Karen Reed's lawyer pulled up some photos of six Solo cups stained with blood, stuffed in a brown grocery bag. The cups weren't sealed. The cups weren't documented. And the grocery bag was a random bag from a store, not from a police evidence team. There was no formal chain of custody, and the whole collection was just sitting there inside the police department's alleyport, right next to Karen Reed's SUV. After Lieutenant Gallagher, prosecutors played two clips, both featuring Karen Reed. The first clip was from an Investigation Discovery interview in which Karen described what happened when she dropped off John O'Keefe.
So when John got out of the car at Brian Albert's house, he took my full vodka soda, which is sitting in the cup holder.
In the second clip from a Dateline interview dated June 22nd, 2024, Karen Reed sounded less sure of herself.
He's in the front yard, to the left of the front door, and no one's coming out of the house. Jen's telling me nobody's seen him. So I'm thinking, Jesus, was I starting to pull away and I ran over his foot? Like, he's roughly where I left him. So yeah, when I found him, I was thinking, did I like clip him somehow?
Damning words from the defendant herself. Next witness up, meteorologist Robert Gilman, who testified about the weather on the night John O'Keefe died. And his verdict, quote, it was the biggest January storm in history, end quote. Snow, wind, sub-zero temperatures, conditions that make it nearly impossible to preserve or even find forensic evidence. And after the weatherman was Trooper Nicholas Guarino with the Massachusetts State Police. And what he laid out was a timeline. Text by text, call by call, message by message, starting just after 12:30 a.m. Karen Reed tried over and over again to reach John O'Keefe. At 12:37, she left a voicemail. At 1:02 a.m., she texted, "Your kids are fucking alone," with a spelling error. At 1:04 a.m., "I'm back in Mansfield. The kids are home alone." Sorry for the expletives, folks, but when you're in court, this evidence matters. The jury needs to know just how aggressive texts are. What they say in the real language needs to be conveyed. And hence, I give it to you two.
John, I'm going home. I cannot babysit you. I need to go home. You are fucking using me right now. You're fucking another girl. John, I'm here with your fucking kids. And nobody knows what the fuck you are, you fucking pervert.
In total, Trooper Guarino testified there were 44 unanswered calls, 8 voicemails, 2 of which may have been pocket dials, and 4 text messages. And then after lunch, the jury heard another one of Karen's interviews from the media, and this one was damning.
He didn't look mortally wounded as far as I could see, but could I have done something that knocked him out and in drunkenness and in the cold didn't come to him yet?
After the media clip came 2 more officers, Lieutenant Charles Ray and Lieutenant Kevin O'Hara. Ray testified about a wellness check at John O'Keefe's home on the morning of January 29th. He said he and his partner were there for about 5 minutes and that nobody was home. And surveillance video confirmed that. Then came Lieutenant Kevin O'Hara, who led the special emergency response team that searched outside of 34 Fairview Road. O'Hara described how they used rakes and shovels and brooms to comb through the snow, hunting for any trace of evidence. They recovered 6 or 7 taillight pieces, red taillight pieces, and a sneaker. But they didn't document how deep anything was buried in the snow, and some of it was just out sitting on the asphalt. And don't forget, some of this evidence was found hours, even days, after the fateful night of the house party. Why hadn't it been found right then and there, when they collected the blood and the Solo cups and used a leaf blower to find evidence like clear glass in the white snow and gathered up all those pieces of the broken cocktail glass? These are all really good questions for Karen's defense team to mine for answers. And with that, Judge Cannone called it a day just after 3:30 p.m., telling the court they're actually a little bit ahead of schedule in this trial. So what do you think so far? Is the prosecution building a solid case? Or is the defense starting to poke real holes in their case and creating that, oh, I don't know, holy grail called reasonable doubt? I'd love to hear what you think. So drop your comments down below on YouTube. And if you're enjoying Drop Dead Serious, it would mean a whole lot to us if you left a quick review or a rating, because it really helps other true crime fans find our show and join our little club. I'm Ashley Banfield. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's Drop Dead Serious.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.